yours has got an adjustment stub on it where you can change frequencies. It's tuned for 146.610. I also am not as sure about the impedance on it. I'd say it's close. But according to the meter I borrowed from Walt, the SWR is really good on it. And I noticed that the SWR was a whole lot easier to get right on the J-pole than it was the Slim Jim. I'm not exactly sure why that was, but I had some truck bed spray paint down that Rhino lining. I spray painted yours with that Rhino lining because, well, you're a little rough around the edges. So I figured I'd just add a little rough touch to yours. But if you want to use it, that's fine. You sell it whatever you want to. But I just want to let y'all know, it's tough for a young operator trying to start off and don't have a lot of help. And I know that's time, that y'all put into it, and just letting you know, I'm trying to apply what I'm learning. It may not be the best looking thing, but it does work. So I just wanted to tell you I appreciate you and what y'all do. And got one for Andy too, but I cannot make contact with him to figure out where to drop it off at.
I do appreciate it. I really do. No problem as far as that goes. And we'll catch Andy on the air. He goes down to Pickens a little bit. I don't know if he's driving as much now because of his foot, but he's not too far off of Highway 11 up there, up there at Table Rock, so he's not that hard to find. But we'll help you get his to him. I've got one. Well, I've got a couple of antennas over here that I built. I've got a couple of 2 meter delta loops that you can use for sideband, or you can put them vertical and use them for repeater work, or you can turn them horizontal and use them for sideband. They're pretty neat little things. I made those out of 3/4 inch copper. And I've got a folding J-pole that I made out of 1/2 inch copper. It's got a bungee cord that runs up through the middle of it, and it breaks down to about 19.5 inches, with the exception of the tuning stub over there. And those things are a breeze to set up, and when you can take them out in the woods anywhere and just stick that bottom piece down in the ground. If you've got the bottom piece on the J-pole, and because it's not part of the antenna in reality. But you were talking about the impedance. I had to deal with communications in the Navy, and I think you did in the Army. But any antennas that I've ever seen, I've never seen a 50 ohm antenna, to be honest with you. But they come pretty close, but I've never seen one that measured out 50 ohms one way or the other. And it's amazing what you can do. And those Slim Jims, and those work really well, too. Larry was talking about one made out of 300 ohm twin lead. I made one out of 450 ohm ladder line one time. So, if it's an antenna, and if it radiates, it's an antenna. If it doesn't, it's a bird perch.
You're exactly right, and I guess there's a place for both of them. But I sent Larry the Slim Jim because it's got a totally different takeoff angle. I'd say you're probably a little closer to the repeater than he is, and probably possibly a little bit higher in elevation. I did put some thought into it, and that's why you got what you got. As far as, you know, trying to, well, it was thought out, is what I'm trying to say, and just sent you the J-Pole for a greater takeoff angle, and then Larry's further from the repeater, so he's got a lower takeoff angle, but a higher gain on the listening side. So, you know, y'all take a look at it, and if you don't stop by on Tuesday night with Walt Desi's bet, you know, let me know, hey, you know, I'd have done this different, or I'd have done that different, or whatnot. You know, I made one for Walt too today, dropped it off over at his house, so I hope y'all have some useful use with it.
That's a mighty nice surprise, and I have plans now. It does involve a flower pot. You may know what my intentions are. You can never have too many antennas. I thank you, sir. KK4JPQ.
I appreciate you. It's KO4NUE and KO4RYP. We're clear. Y'all have a blessed week, and I'll talk to you later.
Chad, same to you, Anna. Yeah, it's good to hear you as well. KK4JBQ clear. Thank you for the gift. It's it will be used. I'll put it to use. No doubt about that. Don't you be not think I'm not going to use it, because I will. And I do appreciate it. And hope you and Anna have a great evening, what's left of it. And look forward to meeting you face to face. I've been talking to Mr. Tom in 0TR, and he told me what you look like. So I got a mental picture now, but it will probably be totally wrong.
Tom's pretty right on. I'm a pretty big boy, and little rough and gruff, got a beard, and, you know, I guess what's one thing I learned right off the bat was the first operator I met face-to-face after I got my license was Patrick, and it didn't look anything like I had imagined him to look, and I just figured, well, you know, when you have to communicate with voice all the time, your mind just kind of plays tricks on you, I guess. And I think I was kind of a shocked thing up to his beard and mustache and, you know, heavy set and that kind of thing. And it took him a couple of days to get over it. But it was it's always fun to meet and this, that, and the other. But just let me know if you're gonna be up this way or anything, if you're gonna visit with another operator or anything up in this area. Let me know, and I'll drop it off. If not, then I will drop it off in Pickens, or can meet you somewhere in Easley, because I'll be that way up on Monday, Tuesday, possibly Wednesday up that way. I'll drop by and visit with Roland too. So just let me know. I'll get it to you somehow.
There, young man. I'm planning on going up to Tom's Friday afternoon and visiting with him a little bit, and take my son up there. We're going to go down in his basement and look at some of the stuff he's got down there, and we won't get into that on the radio right now, but anyway, Stephen and I are going to go up and talk to Tom and visit with him. If Stephen gets off in time, he said he's supposed to get off about 1 o'clock, so we'll have to wait and see how that goes. If he doesn't, me and the wife may just go and visit with Tom and Bernice a little bit. But if we do, I'll holler at you on the radio or something and let you know I'm headed in that direction, if that's not too far from your place. But that's the only plans I've got to going in that direction right now, over.
Well, time's pretty close, so I'll just swing by there tomorrow and just drop it off for him. If you make it, you make it. If you don't, you don't. That's fine, too. But, yeah, I'll work that out, and I'll shoot you a text or something and let you know. But, at any rate, Gary, my son's gonna pop the question to his girlfriend, to his Gary's girlfriend, this weekend. So we're having a surprise get together here, here on the farm. After he, I hope she says yes. If she don't, then we're gonna have a whole lot of barbecue to eat. So maybe you and Miss Joy can swing by and help us eat some of the barbecue. But we're all waiting to see if, you know, how that goes. We're real excited because, you know, the first of our kids is moving on into adulthood, and that's always a nice thing to experience. It's been kind of difficult because we're empty nesters now with three kids, and they pretty much just wore the house out. I mean, the floor's deep redone. It's just, oh man, we was talking about it today. Three kids, two deployments and everything else, just, and I'm trying to get the house all fixed up. Anna's mad at me, by the way, because I messed the bathroom door up. We bought a brand new door and put in the bathroom. I said this for Peter to drop. Door to go in the bathroom, and I got a door that you got to cut the doorknob hole and the striker hole in it to put up, and $50-something for, you know, one of those old cheap hollow pocket doors. And I measured the thing out, and I don't know what happened in my mind. Somehow or another, I got 1 3/8 mixed up with 1 3/4. Drilled a hole in the wrong, about 3/8 of an inch off. And the bad thing about it is, I got a machine shop down at the bottom of the hill. And I messed up a tape measure reading and just messed the door all up. So we got a bathroom door with a pretty handle on it with no striker. And I'm just going to put a latch on the inside. And that's why she made the comment tonight about my most amazing husband, because she's been aggravating me the last couple of days because I messed the door up.
Better look on the bright side. You got the door up. You know, you can close it and nobody can see you when you go in a joint. That's the main thing. But I wouldn't worry about that too much. You know, we all, that just proves one thing, Chad, you human, I said something to my father-in-law a long time ago. He and I were building, adding on a bedroom and bathroom to our house that we lived in at that time. It was a two-bedroom house, and we needed a three-bedroom house, so we added a bedroom and bathroom. And I made the statement of measure twice, cut once. And my father-in-law looked at me and he says, "What's wrong with you? That's a Yankee saying." He said, "Down here, you measure it once and cut it. If it ain't right, you do it over."
That's my motto out here at the house. You can't get it right the first time, you definitely get it right the fifth time. that's about the way it works out here. But I got the door fixed, I guess. I'm on, since she's been aggravating me so hard for the last couple of days, I'm just going to take me a bungee cord. I mean, the bathroom's all fixed up. We got grandma's old ceramic sink, and not grandma's, but my mother-in-law's old ceramic sink. We redid it and got some lumber off the sawmill and did the cabinets and the bathroom and all. Got the bathroom looking really nice. And I'm going to go get me one of them fluorescent orange bungee cords. And I just got, you need to go in there and lock the door to use the bathroom. You just take that bungee cord on the inside and begin to keep the door shut. She, like I said, she's been on me for 2 days. So I'm just going to fix it.
DOS, in case anybody cares. That's amazing, Chad. I don't know how many times I've messed up different things, and I wouldn't know where to start. But here in the house, the new house that we're living in, which is the newest one, we've been here, because of that, 13 years now? Gosh, seems like we moved in about 2 weeks ago. But I put up shelves and changed things around, and I had my ham shack in one bedroom, and it was bigger than the one that it's in now. And so I swapped it over and redid it, and of course I had to repaint and all of that good stuff. But there's always something to do around the house, and we're gonna mess up. I think the last thing that I did, I didn't like the sink we had. One side was a regular size of a sink, you know, of a double sink, and the right side of it was about half that size. And I help her in the kitchen, you know, I wash a few dishes and this sort of thing, but that sink bothered me, and she had been wanting a stainless steel sink. So I went and got her a stainless steel sink and disposed her and put both of them in at the same time, which made it a whole lot easier. But I had to redo the cabinet work. And it took me longer to rework the cabinets and the countertop there than it did anything else. But got it all in there, and she's pleased with it. So as long as Mama's happy, everybody's happy. Maybe 1 o'clock. It depends on what's on the TV and what the wife's watching. If I get real tired and I can't stay awake, I go on to bed, and when she gets ready, she comes to bed. And that's the truth of it right there. But you're not holding me up any way, shape, form, or fashion. But, Chad, if you need anything or need any kind of help or anything with anything that I can help you with, you know, I'd be more than happy to do that. And that's what this hobby's all about. I mean, I've had so many folks help me. When I got out of service in 1974, my father-in-law wanted me to get my ham license then. And I told him, I said, I don't want nothing to do with radios. I'm tired of radios and, you know, transmitters and receivers and radar units and all this other stuff that I dealt with. And I said, I'm not really interested. 30 years later, I got my license, and when I upgraded to extra class, I went in and talked to my father-in-law, and I can see him right now to this day. He was sitting in his recliner, and he crossed his arms and looked up at me, and he said, "Well, you're finally one of us."
I know what you mean. I got a family member that lives up in Dickinson. We went and got a license together. Well, not together, but pretty close together. And he's got a machine shop up there, but he does CNC. Most of his stuff is CNC. And the one I got down here at the house is it's all manual and engine lathes and bridge ports and that kind of thing. And we kind of pick at one another because I tell him his shop looks like something off of Star Wars. And, you know, all the CNC equipment in there. And I tell him he's moved to the dark side. And he makes fun of my stuff up here because it just takes a lot longer to do. But I don't do production stuff, so I don't have a need for CNC stuff. I just kind of tape around and take my time with things. But, I mean, there's a place for everything. But I know what you're talking about. You're finally one of us. But, Gary, I did Troposcatter and tactical satellites. And it's all microwave klystrons and modems and things like that, you know. And feed horns and feed lines, microwave feed lines and waveguides and things like that. And those old troposcatters have a lot of power behind them. And, you know, I guess microwave, same principle, is high frequency. But, hang on, Gary. KO4NUE for station ID. Once we got the things up and running, you just, you know, if the alarm goes off or the little red light comes on, then you go in there and do what you got to do. So, well, I was like you when I got out. I don't want to deal with any more, you know, comsec or generating keys or working on klystrons or anything like I'm done with it, you know. But I don't know, after I got out, it just, I don't know, it so I got my first radio when I got my license, technician, and took me about 3 days to figure out how to program a radio. And so I got a couple of months into being a technician, and I said, "Well, you know, I'm thinking about I might go get my HF general ticket." So went and tested and got my license there at the Red Cross building in Greenville. Anna went with me. She got her technician license. I studied for that thing for over a month just so I could pass it. And we go take the exam, she goes in there with me, and she took the first couple of practice exams and just passed it fine colors. Don't know anything about radio, electronics, or nothing. So she missed 02 on the technician exam, and I missed 5. And I got to thinking, well, you know, I run Troposcatter, tactical satellite, this HF stuff's gonna be easy. yeah, boy. I got my eyes open real quick. So, and you ain't got nobody that's close by that you know, Tom's helped me a lot. But it's just nice to have people that just try stuff, you know, try to help. And always try to pay that back because, you know, man's giving you something, you need to, you know, you need to try to apply it. If he's going to take the time to teach you, then you need to take the time to learn it. And there's a lot of implied tasks comes with that learning process and being an apprentice, you know. So, yeah. So I guess that's a little bit of my story, I guess.
We're DOS with KO4NUE. With Chad, I left a little break in there in case somebody else wanted to come in with us. Yeah, you were talking about an engagement party coming up this weekend. I hope that all goes well. I meant to comment on that a while ago. But I hope that goes well, and your son's real happy, and you're more than happy with your future daughter-in-law. I have two daughter-in-laws that are not daughter-in-laws, they're daughters. I was very blessed with two beautiful ladies that married both my, that my son's married, and we all get along real well, and they're a whole lot of fun when we get together. Just to go back a little ways. But, I'm like you. I try to give back a little bit. That's one reason I got into the being a VE. When I got my extra class, I told them I wanted to volunteer as an examiner. And, of course, I did the ARRL accreditation, and then I went through WESCAR's accreditation as well. And got that all done, and I've been doing it for, gosh, I don't know how many years now. But, it's just giving back a little bit to the ham community for all of the folks that have helped me. And that's one way to give back, you know. Just like this stuff that I've got put on the swap net tonight from the Silent Key. Matter of fact, I put it on last week. But old Fletch, K4YNG, he had he's got some fantastic equipment over there. But it's high dollar, you know, and I don't know if I'll be able to sell it on my swap net on Wednesday night or not, but I've gone and listed on a couple of other different places as well just to help his widow out, Miss Hester. But that's what it's all about, you know. We're just one big happy family. And every once in a while we get mad at one another or irritated or something of that nature. But for the most part, you know, we're still family. We might have our disagreements, but like I told my oldest son a long time ago, we'll agree to disagree on that.
Absolutely nothing wrong with agreeing to disagree. That don't mean you part company. That just means you know, at the end of the day, you still got to sit on the tailgate together and try to be a brother somehow. Whether you got the same views or not, I definitely, understand that. But I'm just going to let you know, too, that my son and his fiance, we're hoping after this weekend, they came by months or so, both in college. So they came by and said they wanted to sit down and talk with us for a little bit. So we kind of figured that's what was going on, you know. So we sat down at the table to eat lunch, and my son, I told Anna, I said, I know this is a serious event and all, but we play a lot of pranks on each other here at the house as a family and always messing with one another. And, I told Anna, I said, well, I'm gonna get him and her too. Might as well go ahead and break her in, I guess. So, they're sitting at the table eating lunch and got through eating lunch. And Dave, Lewis says, Dave, we come by, we want to talk with you for a few minutes. And just, we talking about, possibly getting married. Station ID, and I just kind of looked at Anna, and I said, well, son, I says, I want to talk with her. I don't want to hear what you got to say right now. I want to hear what she's got to say. So I just point blank asked her, I said, do y'all know what you're doing? And I just want to see what she'd say, you know. And she immediately looked directly at me, and she says, well, did you and Anna know what y'all were doing when y'all got married? And it wasn't nothing I could say, you know. So I just told her, I said, hey, that's a good answer. You're gonna fit right in around here. So she's a pretty smart girl, and she picked up on it real quick that, you know, she knows how we kind of prank things around here. But right before Lewis went off to college, she got him a Jeep, and I got a service trailer that I keep some of the equipment up down in Pickens. I just got all my tools in it, and I'll take it, hook it up the truck, and work on the equipment up at the farm in Pickens with it. And I got a little battery pack with a remote control on it, so I can run an external fuel pump or something like that, you know. And it's in a little briefcase, small Pelican box. And I got a remote control relay on it, so I can turn things on and off. So when I'm working on an excavator or something, I can turn a pump on without having to get out of the hole on the excavator to work on it. So I hooked me a little buzzer up to it, so a pretty loud piezo buzzer, and stuck it up underneath the dash in his Jeep. He hadn't had it a couple of days. And he got his sunglasses on, went up there, took the top off, and I got it on camera. And that's the thing with us, you got to catch it on camera so everybody can, you know, we can kind of show it to the family and have a big laugh about it, you know. You got to see that video. I push that button and that piezo buzzer goes off. Every time he put the Jeep in reverse, I'd hit that button. It's just the funniest thing, Gary. You got to see it. And about a week later, I got my son, too. But my other son. But she knows when I'm up to something, so I hadn't been able to get her yet. But she's off to Clemson, and I may just not decide to play a joke on her, because she's better at it than I am. But my two sons, boy, it's you know, we always going on with one another, this, that, and the other, that kind of thing.
Well, that's what makes it fun, Chad, being able to pick at each other back and forth. Nobody gets mad. I can remember back, and it's been a long time ago now, when I carried Joy over to my parents' house for the first time. We had just started dating. We hadn't been dating long. And I told Mom and Dad, I said, well, I'm going to bring Joy by to let y'all meet her. They said, okay. Well, I went and picked her up and got back over to the house, and Daddy had turned out all the lights, and Mother had some oil lamps, and she had a couple of those out burning and some candles lit here and there. And Daddy had got some white corn cobs and some red corn cobs and hung them in the bathroom and did some other things. And Joy went in, and I introduced them to Mom and Dad, and I said, what's the matter with the lights? And Daddy says, I didn't pay the power bill, they cut it off. And I knew that was a story, because it was lights were burning when I left. So I knew what he was doing. And he told Joy, he says, I'm sorry. He said, we ain't got no power. And he said, oh, if you got to go in the bathroom, he said, use the white corn cobs, they're softer. He said, we don't have any toilet paper. He said, I forgot to get any at the store. And he said, I ain't going to the store to get none now, so you just have to use the corn cobs. And I'm telling you, they put her through the ringer. And we all had a good laugh out of it, because she knew that they were pulling her leg, too. But I told Daddy, after it was all over with, I said, Daddy, I want to kill you. pieces, you got to break them in right.
My gosh. Oh, yeah, well, we did the same kind of thing with Anna. Our family's a pretty big family, and we got all the uncles and aunts and this, that, and other, so it's always customary when we have for granddaddy died, when you bring your fiance to the Christmas dinner up at Meemaw's or up at Meemaw Pappy's, you know, the whole family gets involved in playing some kind of prank on the new fiancés when they come into the family. And Anna's from the city. She lived on east side of Greenville when we met. And was dating her roommate. Well, that's a different story. But so she's, you know, city slicker, and we lived out here on the cotton farm. And we got engaged and went up to the family dinner up at Meemaw and Pappy's, and oh man, all the aunts and uncles, they just, you know, Meemaw cooked a couple squirrels. Pappy had a possum, had some mountain oysters. She was afraid to eat anything. The whole family was, you know, all the fiancés have been through this. So they didn't let on. But it's always something going on around here. And me and my dad's really bad. I mean, we pick at each other all the time about something. But he's getting a little bit of age on him, and I try not to pick so much, you know, because he gets flustered real easy. But he's something else. But we had a big rabies scare here right before the last deployment, and the dog attacked. We got some Great Pyrenees down there in the pasture, and pretty big dog to watch over the goats and the chickens. Daddy always goes down to feed at a certain time of day, and I try to keep an eye on him through the windows, and because he's always, you know, into something. Well, he stayed down there, and didn't come back his normal time, so I figured I better go down there and check on him, see how he's doing, and see what's going on. So by the time I got halfway down there, he'd come out of the pasture and just covered in blood. T-shirt was just covered. And so he was hollering for help. So I run down there to see what was going on with him. And Bandit, the male Great Pyrenees, just attacked him. Bit him all up, cut him up pretty bad before he'd get away from him. And so Dad's married to a doctor, so a nurse practitioner. So we went on to she took him on to the emergency room to get, you know, sewed up and fixed up. Station ID. So a couple days later, we down there, and Bandit, the Great Pyrenees, he's just gone absolutely crazy. Just scared to death of you, and if you get him hemmed up, he's just awful looking. And we didn't think anything about it till about the second day, and I went down there to feed because Daddy couldn't feed no more, and he's drooling at the mouth and just foaming at the mouth and just crazy. It's the craziest looking thing I've ever seen. And he's always been a mild natured animal, you know, dog. And we put two and two together. So we keep two dogs. dogs in the pasture, watching over the animals. And anything that comes in that gate, if it's not part of the herd, they're going to kill it. That's just the way it is. They won't even let bluebirds nest on the fence posts. They're so protective. So the bandit had killed caught a raccoon. And when they kill something like that, they'll bring it to the gate. So when Daddy goes to feed, you know, they get their reward from Daddy. I guess that's what they're thinking. And we found a raccoon there, and we took it down there and buried the thing. Didn't think nothing about it. Well, about 3 weeks later, things just went crazy, you know. And it finally figured out, we had to call a vet out here. And I had to destroy the animal, like kill me to destroy him, but I had to take him up to the vet and land him. And she took his head and sent it to Columbia for testing. And it come back positive for rabies. So we all had to get the rabies vaccine, Daddy, me, the kids, Anna, because we'd been down there messing around with the dog. And it was something else. I mean, I never been through anything like that with, you know, medical shots and all, but my gosh, that was painful. That's the most painful shots I ever had in my life. And I've had a lot of shots in the Army, but that was just not a good experience for any of us. But it just, it was something else. And somebody, or the little girl out here from Farmer County, and she had a little clipboard and a little bitty thing. She's out there talking to Daddy and basically told Daddy, you're going to have to, you know, we're going to have to just have the dog. They have to be destroyed. And it was quite the experience. And like I said, there's always something going on around here.
KOS, KO4NUE. Well, Chad, I'm fine. Just that you had to go through the rabies vaccinations and all that. That I have heard that was very painful. I don't have never had to do it myself. Joy and I rescued a Great Pyrenees. It was on a guy's concrete pad, and it was in the sun all day long. Didn't have a place to get out of the shade. They tried to keep a bowl of water there, but of course, the dog kept knocking it over with his chain. And his chain would come to about within 3 feet of a swimming pool that was an in-ground pool. And so the dog couldn't get to any water. It was in the sun all day long. And I was talking to the lady, and she said, you know anybody who might want a Great Pyrenees? I said, I'll take it. And we went up there and found what kind of condition it was in. And it broke our hearts. Of course, we carried it home, and we had another home over here in Easley. We called it the Big House. It had 2.25 acres, and so we brought the Pyrenees home. And bless his heart, we couldn't keep that dog in the fence. He would get out and roam and want to run through the woods and all this. Well, I contacted a friend of mine that lives down between, between here and Greenwood, that had a goat farm. And she came up with a kid in the back of her truck where she had the kid in the cab. And she got out and met the dog, and then she walked back over to her truck, got that little old kid out. And I want you to know I've never seen a great Pyrenees at work. But that dog straddled the goat, you know, the little kid, and wherever that thing went, he went. And it kept him right up underneath him. And she said, the lady said, I think he'll do well. And she carried him back down there to almost down there to Belton, but where her farm was, and she gave him his own herd of goats, and we went down to see him a couple of times, and he'd go around and around and around the fence. During the day, he'd lay down and do nothing, but at night, he wasn't ever still. She said, there won't nothing get in that fence but his herd of goats. And it amazed me, but they are beautiful dogs, and I hate that you had to have one put down. But you don't ever know whether when you live out in I don't live out in the country that far, but get my radio time out. I talk too long. We had two German Shepherds. One of them got bit by a snake and passed away. But out here, and like I said, we're not out in the country, but they've killed a skunk and didn't get sprayed. They've killed three or four groundhogs. They killed two raccoons. They've killed squirrels, snakes. If it gets in the yard and it doesn't belong here, it don't last long if they can catch it. Now, the squirrels are a little harder to catch. Of course, they jump up in the trees, but if the animal's on the ground, it's their fair game as far as the dogs are concerned. And of course, as long as the neighbors don't have their cats get in the yard or something of this nature, I haven't had any dogs get in the yard because it's fenced in and I do have it posted. The only bad part I have around here is that some of the little kids, and I've got most of them educated now, not to put their hands over the fence or through the fence because I don't want them to come back with a nub. And, of course, with the fence posted, their parents couldn't do anything about it other than try to make me have my dogs put down. But I went to the parents' house and told them, I said, look, you know, I don't mind if your kids want to come over. If they want to come over and pet the dogs, I'll take them in the fence with me. But my dogs don't like little people, and it wouldn't be a good thing to do even with me in the fence. So they pretty well stay away from the fence now. But I hated to have to bury my male out there that got bit by a snake. So I kind of know what you're going through there.
We've learned we've got Axel and Bill down there after we went through the rabies thing. A male and female down there watching over the herd, and we've learned that if you can't bring a new animal in the pasture and just drop him off because they're not gonna have it, but you have to put the animal in a pen to where they can't harm it, and we keep it in the pen for 24-72 hours, something like that. And then let them out of the pen, and if everything be all right, they'll take it as part of the herd. But last year, Daddy put a bunch of bluebird boxes on the fence post going down to the pasture, and the bluebirds just drove them crazy. They wouldn't even let them in the bluebird box on the fence. They had to move the bluebird boxes to the pine trees out in the yard because they're just absolutely not going to tolerate it. And you're right, they lay around with the herd most of the day, and you don't think they're doing anything, but they're always watching. But at night, we got game cameras down there in the pasture, and they do their little run at night, and they know exactly what's going on. And we got a red fox that slips in and out of the corner of the fence down there, and they know it, but they can't catch him. And that old fox just drives them crazy. They can't stand it. They'll stand down there and booger bark all night because they know that fox is, and I know he's doing it just to aggravate them. But he just slips right through the fence, and you see him on the game camera. He'd just sit there and just look and mess around, and just enough to leave a scent and drive the dogs crazy. Then he'll pop out the other side of the fence, and next thing you know, they're down there booger barking all night, and it's just, you know, it's something all the time around here. I mean, all the time.
It's the fun part about it, though, Chad. You know, we've worked long and hard for what we got, and now it's time to enjoy it. And, of course, it's still a lot of work, and a lot of folks don't realize how much work is involved in a farm. Or I don't have a farm. I got a little garden out here. It's I'll say 40 by 60 or something like that. It may not be that big. But it keeps me busy and keeping it up and keeping it worked and taking care of all the rest of the stuff around here. And it's a full-time job, no doubt, but I wouldn't have it any other way. I'm really enjoying what I got here and what the Lord's given me, and very blessed as far as that goes.
You're right, very blessed, and it is nice to be able to enjoy what you work for. But at any rate, Gary, I appreciate the conversation, and I'm gonna let you go. We've been working trying to get this house remodeled before this weekend, and she about killed me. So I'm tired, sore. And I'll get back up in the morning and do some more on the house, trying to get it finished up before this weekend. But I do appreciate you taking the time to, you know, just have a conversation. I'm not really into the whole DX and then FT8 and things like that. You know, I just like to talk to people, and you can learn a lot, especially from somebody that's older and wiser. And so I appreciate it. I appreciate you taking the time. And Larry, if you're in there listening, hey, y'all have a wonderful week. And I hope you can use that. I expect men of your experience probably ain't got much use for them. But at least try it out. And, you know, maybe call a net with it one night or something and see how it works. Don't have to say nothing about it. Just let me know on the sideline what you think. And because I'm always trying to improve, and I don't have an issue with constructive criticism. It just makes me better. And I know y'all got a better way of doing things. So at any rate, y'all have a wonderful rest of the week. And tell your son that if he needs some help with his project, let me know, and I can definitely help him with it. 'Cause I got a lot of bits and pieces he probably could use. So at any rate, y'all have a wonderful week, and I appreciate the cue. So. And KO4NUE 73s, and I'll be clear on yours and anybody else's final.
Ed, next time you're over in Pickens, if you got a few minutes to spare, give me a call. You got my number, and it won't take me just about 15 minutes to go over there to Pickens. From the house here, and we'll sit down and have a cup of coffee and visit for a while, if you've got time. But if you don't have time, I understand. That's something that there's not enough time in a day most of the days, it seems like, especially when you're remodeling a house or whatnot. But you and Anna, get you some rest. I hope everything goes well this coming weekend, and look forward to meeting you face-to-face there, young man. You take care. We'll say 73 for now. KO4NUE, KI4DOS.
NUE, KI4DOS. And, Anna, if you're listening, KO4RYP. You know, that's been some of the finest radio listening I've done in a long time. It's just, it pleased me just to sit back and listen to y'all chat. Y'all have a good night, and we'll be talking to you later. KK4JBQ, I'm clear.